now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Yes, indeed, it is that time of the week. This is Shout Out.
This time on Shout Out, Matthew talks to Stuart Milk from the Harvey Milk Foundation.
And the news team bring us another monthly roundup.
He's Matthew Tosh and I'm Tara Fraser.
One show, 1 hour, 8 stations. This is Shout Out and you're very welcome. My goodness, this is a bit weird.
But do you notice nobody went doo-doop-da-doop?
No. How am I supposed to do that?
Is that our thing, is it? That's not our thing.
No, the sound is.
Yeah,
thing.
Exactly.
It
yeah.
is.
Unless Laura's here and it's her thing as well.
Yep. That's fine. Well, you know, everyone brings their own individual mark.
Absolutely.
Yes. Hello, Steffi. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Very good, thank you. I'm on the other side. See, I'm normally in the news corner. I was talking to Ivan earlier about we have a news corner in the
yes,
studio.
Yes, you're a rent boy tonight because you're on rent to the production side.
I've been
you're
borrowed.
Actually, yes,
and you're very brave because normally when I press buttons, something goes bang.
That's very true, isn't it? Yeah.
So let's hope that nothing goes bang.
Don't push any buttons. Just slide those sliders.
It's going to be seamless. Tara, you're looking very nervous.
Yes, I'm just waiting for something.
Tara, she's just moved her chair 6 inches to the right.
I just know what you do for a living, you know. You can bang. Make anything explode. That's the thing.
It's all in a controlled way. You see, that's what happens.
Yes.
So, has anyone had a good week so far?
I'm having a good year.
Well, that's good.
Wow. Yeah. That's spread it out a bit.
That's not messing around with this week business, is it?
Exactly.
For a year.
I'm having a really good... Yeah, sorry, I was tutoring this week at UWE for the ICERT, so, you know, I got various hats and that.
I'm having a fantastic decade.
I'm having a good life. Does that count?
Yes.
Yes. And that's the most important, isn't it?
It is. I was doing very well up to the weekend watching the Olympics. But then it all got a bit sidelined with family stuff, and I've kind of lost a bit of touch. We're not doing very well in the curling, though, I think, have we?
Do you know, I haven't been involved at all with the Olympics this year. I just can't get into it.
No?
No.
It's the time zone, isn't it?
I don't know.
I think that makes it difficult, because it's not a good time to watch it. If you start watching that sort of thing first thing in the morning, you're not in the right frame of mind then for going to work, are you? Well, I don't think you are.
No. Or it's last thing at night, and it's like, well, what time in the morning do you want to stay up to, you know?
Good if you've been clubbing, you can come out of the clubs and then hit the Olympics. It's fine, it's not a problem.
Or come straight here and do a show. Like Ivan does. He leaves the clubs and goes straight into
what?
Doing a show. Mr. Jackson, you know?
I think he's
on later.
We will be hearing from Ivan later. He's got the news.
Yes. No, I've locked studio door. He won't be able to get in.
We have to put him up in that news cupboard. We do a live feed.
We just bring him out when we need him.
From the news cupboard. We're going to be hearing it in a minute from people from the Brigstow. We've got Polly and Alad joining us, talking about a new feature. And we've got our outshout as well. And as we said a little bit earlier, we've got an interview with Stuart Milk, who's doing the rounds at the moment. I have to say, it's a terrible joke there, isn't it?
Oh, that was milk crowd. Good Lord.
See, that's why people don't put me in charge of the show. Right.
See, that was off script as well.
Yeah. No, never put a bisexual in charge of a show. It could go either way.
Ooh. Oh, so, another one.
There we go.
Ba-boom.
Ba-boom. I'm on a roll. Okay, anything else we need to announce at the top of the show? Producer?
Actually, we can talk about ITV because just after this show,
make
sure you listen to this show first. ITV are doing a thing about trans kids.
Oh, wow.
And just to the Tavistock Clinic alone, 41%. And I'm holding the statistics
You're
up to the microphone
the
so that the listeners can see it because we have magical microphones at BCFM. 41% increase in just the last 12 months of kids.
I think society should be proud that kids can be able to be themselves. That's what it comes
absolutely,
down to.
But I guess the programme's going to be looking at why the sudden increase and where's that come from. Is it just that kids are now more free to actually express themselves, which hopefully that is the case? Because definitely when I was growing up, you couldn't. You certainly got a slap round the back of the head.
Do you not think people are just more aware? I mean, families are more aware, parents are more aware, teachers are more aware.
I think there's possibly a double thing here, because there is much more awareness of the whole transit issues, but also mental health in general, because the two go hand in hand, particularly at that age, I imagine.
Yeah. Well, mental health, it's one of those things. I think it's still, it's a pauper in the process, really. For most things, you know, you can fix a leg, you can fix everything else, but mental health?
Well, it's like it's part of your health, and everybody has a mental health. Yeah. And if you've got,
I've noticed it being introduced to businesses. So businesses are all talking about currently about mental first aid and being able to recognise that people might be in trouble and trying to help that out, you know, pointing them in the right direction. So that's starting to come into, and I work in the construction industry, which is not exactly the quickest in the uptake, but some companies are starting to get there.
I guess the construction industry is pretty big bushy manly still, isn't it? So
I don't know, don't meet many.
Well, we might hear a bit more about that later, but that's tonight at 8 o'clock on ITV. So thank you for that. Well, coming up is our Outshout special. Now, he's already throwing shapes in the studio. We've got Aled Osborne here and Polyphedom. Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Look at that. Look at it. And you've got some news. You've got some news for us, haven't you?
Yeah. Something we're quite excited about.
Go on then.
So we are starting to do a monthly podcast with your good selves on the topic of HIV and everything related. It's an idea that Aled and I both sort of came up with independently and have come together to form this project.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible. There was a gap that needed to be plugged and filled, and yeah, we saw that and took it on ourselves.
You've grabbed it.
You're going fully by the horns.
Excellent stuff.
Give some background to the Outshout slot is changing from March on the show, and the first change will be that Brigstow will be doing this 5-minute podcast, and also we've got other podcasts lined up. The segment's going to be called My Five, so it's just giving people 5 minutes behind the microphone, all to do with LGBTQ related subjects.
Yeah.
So the Brigstow one will be on the first Thursday of every month.
Well,
yeah.
What time we have on?
It sounds good. Sorry, Tara?
I'm just wondering, what's the first podcast going to be? Can we have a little bit of
a teaser?
A teaser. Get people's ears listening.
So it's going to be about HIV, raising awareness, but we thought the first one would be a bit of an introduction to Aled and myself. So I'm the campaigns manager at Brigstow. I do a lot of HIV awareness and all of this. And Aled is a campaigner and a peer mentor and has personal experience living with HIV. So we were going to do a little bit of a conversation between ourselves and good info, and hopefully be amusing as well.
Just introduce the listeners to us, because they're going to be hearing a lot of us over the next however long it lasts.
So they know who they're going to be listening to.
Exactly.
This is an important point, because a podcast is hosted by people. You become the personalities, you're the friendly and familiar voices for people. So this is your stage.
It is.
Exactly.
Another stage for me to go on. So that's
you've got so many stages.
So many.
Just realise, yes, of course. Excellent stuff. So a whole range of topics. So you're starting with HIV, but then the all sorts of broader topics as well.
So
just stuff like relating to HIV. So stigma, the various communities that it affects, treatments, and
sex and relationships, discrimination.
I guess you're organising other groups to come in to join you now and again that are related to that same subject.
Definitely. Yeah. We've got loads of good contacts with other organisations who support people living with HIV or people, you know, with issues connected to. So yeah, bringing on guests and stuff too.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. Exciting.
Look at his eyes lighting up there. You could see that, listeners. His eyes are glowing there.
Well, I thought your microphones had cameras in them, so they did see my eyes light up.
There are cameras in the studio. Very good. Well, listen, we really look forward to hearing that on the show, and wish you the best of luck with it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And keep up the good work.
Cheers.
I know you're only upstairs in this building. It's good to we see you a lot more actually whilst we're since we've moved buildings.
Yeah,
it's very good. Steffi, did you hint at me earlier there was some other news?
Well, it was just the ITN thing. ITV news. ITV 8 o'clock this evening. So if you can't be there, then record it.
iPlayer.
Or now, ITV's version of
ITV
iPlayer, whatever
player,
it's called.
I think it's called, isn't it? That's good stuff. Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast. I never know whether those high notes are natural or not.
I don't think they are. I think it's a set of pliers in there.
What a horrible image. Now, onto some very serious stuff, because it is LGBT History Month. And Stuart Milk is a global LGBT human rights activist and political speaker. He's a nephew of civil rights leader Harvey Milk and the co-founder of the Harvey Milk Foundation. And he's engaged in domestic and international activism, including work with the LGBT movements around the world. Now, this week, he's in the UK and has been visiting schools and communities in Bournemouth, Bath and Bristol. It's all part of LGBT History Month. And earlier today, I spoke to him at Redland Green School about his work, and he started by describing his key messages.
One of the themes has been visibility, and this is the 40th anniversary of the one little bit less than a year of public service that my uncle got before he was assassinated. So his main goal was that we became visible. And that's the main reason that we've moved forward. Some of the kids will ask me, you know, who are the people who have made where we are possible? And it's just the everyday heroes. It's I tell them it's them. If they're supporting someone who's different, or they themselves are bringing forth their authenticity. So, you know, the message is visibility. And to this day, we still see ourselves moving back. India as a prime example, we moved back. They recriminalized LGBT people 2.5 years ago. And the reason, if you talk to any of the justices of their Supreme Court who recriminalized LGBT people, and I have, they will tell you, we would never have done it if we had LGBT people in our country. We don't have them here. Now, they say that with a straight face, even though you could look at their staff and say, oh, my God, just turn around and look at your staff. But they're not out. Now, the trans community is out, and therefore they did not recriminalize transgender people. They have full legal rights because they're visible.
Well, that's surely a case for us to maintain our visibility.
This is something that we have to nurture and keep moving forward. We need to make sure it gets nourished, because we could get a generation that decides not to come out, that decides that, you know, whether it's a Donald Trump or a Viktor Orban, but there's some bully on a national stage who's scaring them to go back into the closet. And, you know, this is an individual choice. The coming out process doesn't happen when you're age 6 or age 10. You know, some people it's early on in their life, some people it's later on in their life. It's a very personal decision, but it's an important one. It's something, you know, that has to happen. There's been a dialogue of, in particular, some young people who say, you know, wouldn't it be great if we didn't have to label ourselves? And I said, you know, that might be a nice world, but it's not a practical world, because we need role models. People need to be able to relate to someone who looks like them, or who thinks like them, or who loves like them. I have people, and as I'm sure most LGBT people have gone into school, people who will come out at the talk or after the talk. And it was really interesting that I was with some of the university leaders, and they heard one young man ask me, do you know, besides yourself, are there any LGBT people? Do you know of any other ones? And even though I had spent a whole talk talking about LGBT people, what the young university people heard him say was, is there anyone like me? That was his question, is there anyone else like me? And so that's why the labeling needs to continue, why people need to be able to talk about who they are proudly, and let people know that they are worthy of celebration.
When you get moments like that after talking to an audience, it must give you a good feeling.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and I've had them have these kind of breakthrough moments, moving ones here in the UK for every year that I've done talks here. I have them in other countries as well, but it happens more frequently here, including teachers. You know, the environment in the schools can impact even the professionals that work there.
So do you get different responses from audiences of different age groups? Because it's not just schools that you talk to.
Yes, the younger kids that you talk to, the younger kids always are much more open. And of course, as kids get older, even in places like a San Francisco or New York, the older ones, you know, they tend to be more silent and they start to clam up. And they, of course, they're looking at who else is listening to them speak. And the young ones are just freer. And they can ask great questions. A couple of years ago, I was in Ireland, and great thing about having the last name Milk and being related to Harvey, it's like I'm not necessarily seen as an LGBT advocate, but kind of someone who's related like a Kennedy or, to a famous family. And so it was really interesting. They were very impacted in Ireland by popular culture. So I got all these questions about Modern Family and about do I know Kim, and it was really interesting. But the young ones had no fear. There was just absolutely no fear there of LGBT people. And that's got to have some reflection from their parents. So it's always great to see in extremely young people no fear of our community, because then you know that something's happening in society that isn't pushing that fear.
It must give you a lot of hope in many countries.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, the hope is this new generation that believes that they have full entitlement to all human rights. They may not have it legally, but they certainly, as part of the human race, are entitled to it. And the other piece that I have hope for is that people are understanding that they're that this is not just an LGBT issue, but a minority issue. So that, you know, when we have people attacking immigrants, and we have people attacking women, we have people attacking people of color, we have people attacking people who have a different faith than the majority, that we are all part of that same shopping list of hate, and that we can best survive that shopping list and make it through by sticking together.
You mentioned different countries. How do we tackle those countries and cultures where it is perceived as illegal, unacceptable, and people are subjected to some pretty appalling behaviours, torture, and even death in some cases? How do we help those people and make them feel it's okay?
One word that I don't usually like is pragmatism, and we have to be pragmatic when it comes to Islam, a lot of Islamic cultures. So one of the things that a lot of people don't know is that in majority Islamic countries, there's a informal tax on people who are out of the norm. I've learned this a decade ago in Turkey when young trans people told me that they get charged extra if they take a cab, if they go into a coffee shop. I actually didn't believe them, and I wanted to see that, and went into a actually branded coffee shop, Western branded, ordered a coffee. It was four Turkish lira for me, and it was 12 for them. And it was just accepted that if you are a transgendered person, you are a burden on society, and therefore businesses get to charge you more money. The young people told me, do you know how that hurts my soul, that my very existence is? And so we did some things with those companies about the fact that their franchisees were charging extra money, and we were able to get at least some of them to stop doing that. But this concept of a burden on society is beyond the law. So there is no law that says you can tax people extra. It's a societally accepted norm, and we have to start attacking those. But we do have some hope. We do have, for instance, we have the U.S. Navy ship Harvey Milk. It's a billion-dollar ship. 2,000 men and women will serve on it. It will go into both the Atlantic and Pacific fleet. It's really interesting, this particular ship, that it's named after Harvey, because he was actually forced to resign from the Navy because he was gay. So it's not just the demise of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, where you can participate in the military and not, you know, be removed. That's simply tolerance. What this ship is a celebration, and they're celebrating someone that they actually forced out. That ship will travel to 42 countries where it's illegal to be LGBT. And we got an email from a young 12-year-old Kuwaiti, and the 12-year-old said, you know, I'm sitting at the port here in Kuwait waiting for the Harvey Milk to arrive because my existence is illegal. And if anyone found out who I was, I would be put to death. Our military ships in these countries play a huge role in protecting them. They are put on a high status, and so having that ship there might bring, certainly is bringing hope. Maybe it will help bring some change.
Even when talking about the pretty hard-hitting aspects of LGBT rights issues, you speak with such passion and energy. What drives you?
You know, I think at the end of the day, the knowledge that my uncle, who didn't want to die, didn't want to be killed, but went forward amongst all, with all the death threats that he got, with all the sometimes signed death threats, and he didn't know who and he didn't know when, but he knew he was going to be killed, and he recorded that message, "Let the bullets that smash through my brain destroy every closet door." You know, if he was willing to put his life on the line and make the ultimate sacrifice, I think it's the least that we can do. And there's nothing like seeing somebody who finds self-acceptance, whether it's a gay pride parade that you see a young person who finally gets it, you know, they're out in the open and they're seeing people celebrating who they are, or you see a young kid in the classroom, or you see an activist who, you know, who's changed a nation just by being who they are.
For anyone listening who is still having a bit of difficulty trying to find their identity or taking the courage to come out, what would you say to them?
I would say your authenticity is important for not just you, but for the world. So you can't fulfill your purpose and passion here if you're hiding who you are. Coming out is a deeply personal process, but when you do come out, you find yourself free then to pursue what you're here for and bring forth all the gifts that you're going to give to the world.
What a beautiful way of putting it. That was Stuart Milk talking to me at Redland Green School earlier today. Any thoughts on that?
Absolutely brilliant. I mean, I was looking around the studio, all of us are nodding yeah, to every word he says, because he never seems to put a foot wrong, really, whenever he speaks. And he has such a majestic way of speaking. And I mean, I've as well as you, Matthew, I had the pleasure of interviewing him a couple of years ago as well. And you just felt that you're in the presence of this majesty and this connection with the past as well.
Very much so.
Yeah. Absolutely wonderful. And I'm so glad we've got him here.
Yeah, I was just impressed how, you know, he's so inclusive. It wasn't just about LGBT. It was everyone, you know, any difference as well.
Well, there was bits I had to clip a bit. I mean, he was talking a lot about any kind of minority and different religions and women's rights as well. So it's amazing chap. And there'll be some very lucky audiences in Bristol today. Now, if you want to find out some more about his work, we'll put the links to the Harvey Milk Foundation on our website. The address, just remind you, it is shoutoutradio.lgbt.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Love is all around. That's the Trogs there. Earlier, I played to you some Harry Nilsson as well. Everybody's Talking. That version there sounded like it was from Steffi's gramophone.
the old wind up one, wasn't it?
Yeah, the old wind up. We're talking about the gramophone here, not Steffi.
Yeah.
Ivan Jackson is in the news studio. You're flying solo today, aren't you?
I am. Yes, indeed.
So
yes.
No pressure.
And, that's right. No worries.
No, you'll be absolutely fine.
Deep breaths.
Time for the news then.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 22nd of February. There have been numerous reports that Tom Daley and his partner Dustin Lance Black are expecting a baby. The happy couple posted a prenatal scan to their web feeds to mark St. Valentine's Day. However, there's been an anti-gay backlash both on the web and in the Daily Mail newspaper against the couple's announcement. Many businesses, including Centre Parks and the South Bank Centre, have polled their advertising with the paper following the article's publication, and Stonewall published an essay warning that the ferocity of attacks on the couple should act as a wake-up call to the LGBT communities to fight for their rights. Radio Free Europe says that dark clouds have gathered over the LGBT communities of Crimea. The region was given to Ukraine by the communist government of Nikita Khrushchev in the 50s. And in the 70s, a gay scene began to thrive in the holiday resorts along the Black Sea coast. This was in spite of homosexuality being illegal in most of the communist bloc countries, with the notable exception of what was formerly East Germany. At the end of the Soviet-style communism, the Crimean scene became more open and vibrant. However, an increasingly belligerent Russia re-annexed Crimea from Ukraine in 2014. Attitudes have become less liberal towards many minorities in Russia, and as the country resorts to anti-Western propaganda and the Crimean gay and trans population fear for their future under a highly conservative state. Lush Cosmetics are a familiar scent on the high street, whether you're in retail-tastic Bath or more diverse Bristol. Their products have always been very ethically produced, reflecting progressive values in anti-racism, tolerance, peace and animal welfare. Now, there's an additional reason to spend a little of your cash with them. Lush are supporting trans rights with a range of products and displays that includes the Trans Pride flag, and which will raise funds to go to trans awareness charities in the United States and Canada. Tributes have been paid to a recently deceased scientist, Ben Barres, a neurobiologist who made groundbreaking discoveries regarding the structure and function of the brain that may have implications for understanding Alzheimer's disease and other degenerative disorders. As a transgender man, Dr. Barres made many contributions to the debate around biological determinism in males and females in human and related species, pointing out problems in arguments about any innate female or male behavior in our biology. A woman and her boyfriend are being tried for murder of the woman's son because he didn't act straight enough. He was 8 years old when the pair killed him after a sustained campaign of cruelty. Jurors in Los Angeles have heard that Pearl Sinita Fernandez and boyfriend Isaura Aguirre made their son Gabriel eat cat feces, doused him in pepper spray and burned him deliberately. His teenage sister has helped gain justice for Gabriel by turning her parents in and testifying. The Daily Mirror on Saturday led with the human interest story of the jockey formerly known as Vince Cole, who has transitioned and is now Victoria. The story accompanied a two-page spread about Victoria's life and a simple discussion of trans issues for the readership. For a tabloid newspaper, the feature was extremely informative and should help foster understanding and tolerance for other trans people. And finally, Southwest London community radio station Radio Jackie reports that the Equalities and Human Rights Commission has found that many employers are breaking the law by asking prospective female employees whether they have plans to have children. 3 in 5 employers ask this at the interview stage, according to research, but the EHRC points out that it is in contravention of equalities laws. For Shout Out News, this has been Ivan Jackson.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
You can tell it's old because it's in mono. There we go. Just wait for the disc to spin. Tara, just pass me that. That's good. Yep.
Can you actually tell the difference if it's in mono when you're listening on the radio at home or in the car? Well,
if you listen,
can you?
Yeah, really? It comes out in stereo in the speakers, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, but normally it's the same channel, isn't it? Unless they're when stereo first came out, they used to pan it, didn't they? Have like all the strings on one side, the
brass. Oh, that was
because it was
especially
new.
Especially prog rock.
Yeah, these days they don't bother.
They used to play around with everything.
Yeah, they don't bother these days.
Maybe it's a bit I noticed.
All right, yeah.
So there we go.
You and Andy, you've got to think about mono.
I have to sit in the middle, you know, and get it all perfectly balanced. Mm-hmm. Okay, now as it's the last Thursday in the month, we do our news magazine. It's where certain elements of the news team come together and discuss various big stories. And Ivan, you've been delving through some of the recent stories. What have you got on your
radar? I've been delving through. The main thing I'd like to sort of maybe explore today is marriage equality. And of course, it's a big subject that's been going on for donkey's years, especially in the UK. Of course, same-sex marriage was introduced in England and Wales back in 2013. Scotland a year later. Mm. And in the Republic of Ireland, note I say the Republic of Ireland, in 2015. Yet, bizarrely, it's still not been introduced in Northern Ireland, which is a little bit of an embarrassment, isn't it?
Find that really weird.
Yeah, we can't point fingers around the rest of the world and say, oi, when in our own backyard, you know, we still don't have marriage equality across the whole of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland.
So what's the rationale for the kind of delay there?
Well, you know, there's been several attempts, actually five, to pass marriage equality in Northern Ireland through the Northern Ireland Assembly. But finally, they got a majority in November 2015, which was voted 53 in favour and 51 against. Hooray! Hooray, you would think. But you know,
tell, couldn't
you? Yeah, there is a big but. Yeah. But it was vetoed by the DUP. Now, using a mechanism called a petition of concern.
And they're the people that are in with the Conservatives.
You're absolutely right.
They have
an agreement with the Conservative Party at a cost of £1 billion that they will vote along lines with the Conservative Party on certain issues. So what is this petition concern? As I say, it is a kind of veto that any of the parties, by the way, in the Northern Ireland Assembly, they can exercise in order to prevent the passing of legislation. And it was introduced a long time ago as part of the Good Friday Agreement in 1998. And it can be brought by more than 30 or more MLAs, who are the equivalent of our MPs. But the problem is when a petition of concern has been placed, a simple majority is no longer enough to get the legislation through. It's got to be 60%. So that simple majority, 53-51, didn't work. So
basically raises the threshold of what's needed to get it through.
Fair enough. Go on.
This should be really embarrassed, though. Now, you know, Southern Ireland is a Catholic society that's voted it
again,
in.
And Sinn Féin, who are actually voting for, they historically are voting for equal marriage, and it tends to be the DUP that don't. I mean, you know, it's said that they're not necessarily reflecting the views of the people of Northern Ireland, because the irony about this petition of concern is that it was in place to safeguard minority rights, right? So there's a real irony going on here. So that they're being used to block this legislation, which is being designed to promote equality. Mm. So it's a bit horrendous. So up until now, there's been a bit of a stalemate going on. And of course, over the last year, there's been no effective government in Northern Ireland because, of course, the talks have broken down between the parties. And it's basically being run by civil servants at the moment, not direct rule just yet.
So can I ask, what happens if you're Irish gay and you come to the UK and you get married in England or Scotland and then go back to Northern Ireland?
Right, so your marriage is recognised as a civil partnership, because they were very quite progressive in Northern Ireland in terms of the civil partnerships. They came in virtually at the same time as they did in the UK. So they were ahead of the Republic when it came to civil partnerships, but they're behind when it comes to
marriage.
Equal marriage. But there is some light on the horizon, believe it or not. Westminster MP Conor McGuinn, he's announced that he's set to introduce legislation via the UK Parliament to allow same-sex marriage in Northern Ireland. Now, I didn't think they were going to be able to do this, because power to introduce equal marriage, it's devolved. It's one of those areas that's devolved to the Northern Ireland Assembly. But that power-sharing government, as I just said, collapsed more than a year ago, and the current talks to get it all going again have stalled. Mm-hmm. The Northern Ireland Secretary, Karen Bradley, she said in a written parliamentary answer to Mr. McGinn, he's the MP for St Helens, by the way, but he was born in Northern Ireland, so that's why he has an interest in this particular issue. She has said the power of the Westminster Parliament to legislate on same-sex marriage in the province remains unaffected by the ongoing political turmoil. If this issue were to be raised in Westminster, this is the key, the government's policy is to allow a free vote on matters of conscience such as equal marriage. Now, he has said, I want to see these sorts of decisions made by a power sharing executive and a fully functioning Northern Ireland Assembly, but of course it's not at the moment, and restoring these institutions should be our focus. But then he goes on to say, it's clear from the answer given by the Secretary of State that the government can legislate for equal marriage at Westminster, and I believe circumstances are soon approaching in which it should. If the government won't commit to doing that in a reasonable time frame, then I'm prepared to take forward a private member's bill or propose amendments at an appropriate government bill to extend equal marriage to Northern Ireland. So really good news there. It should be interesting to see how that member's bill goes.
Do you know, it is really interesting, and I wonder if in, say, 40, 50 years' time, it's these sorts of things that will be coming up in history lessons at schools.
Oh, yes, and it'll be these sort of things where these people will still be alive and will be seen to be on the wrong side of history as well. Yeah. That's going to be a major embarrassment for them and their family.
Well, they're wrong side already, aren't they?
Well, they are. Well, yeah, you know, from our perspective, of course it will. I mean, you know, how will a vote go in the Commons? Well, it's a very similar makeup in the Commons as it was in 2010 when equal marriage was brought in, with the exception that the large Liberal Democrat bloc has been replaced by a large SNP bloc. But, you know, most of them
Scotland's
are going to vote.
Quite progressive.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, the only, you know, thorn in the side is, of course, more than half the Conservative Party, actually, although they brought the legislation in, actually voted against equal marriage. So it'll be interesting to see if that vote does happen, whether it happens or not. So another couple of bits and pieces.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Bermuda, we've seen some rollbacks, of course. Marriage equality has been actually rescinded there and rolled back. Last year, the Supreme Court declared that the ban on same-sex marriage would be lifted, and now they brought in legislation just this year, this month actually, to say that instead of having same-sex marriage, this is went through Parliament, not through the Supreme Court, a new law to invoke domestic partnerships. So they've introduced this same but different, you know, equal but different kind of ruling. Yeah. And there's been an uproar over it, and that has now been going back to court as well. That's going through. But the embarrassing thing is, it's a British protectorate, and it's the only place in the world where equal marriage has been rolled back. And that's raised some concerns with people because they're worried that this could happen elsewhere in the world. Them. And, you know,
Stuart
Mill's interview, he said, we've got to be on our guard all the time. You know, we gain our rights. The fight isn't over. You have to fight to keep them as well. So it's no good sitting back on your haunches and pretending that the work's done. Exactly. There will always be people that try and take away your rights. So, and of course, we've had some great news in Australia, of course, with an amazing plebiscite that went on there and brought in rights there too. Shall we move on to South Africa at this stage?
You've got time for one more.
Yes, very indeed. Quickly, South Africa's new president, Cyril Ramaphosa, has taken office after Jacob Zuma stepped down. Well, he was kind of forced out, wasn't he, really? But the wonderful thing is, although Cyril hasn't been elected as such, he's a bit like Theresa May, really, he has a fabulous record on LGBTI rights. And he's said some wonderful things addressing, you know, South Africa is one of the most advanced...
Progressive.
That's the word I wanted. Constitutions going in the world when it comes to the mention of LGBT rights and other minority rights as well.
And part of Africa as well. Which is really important to highlight.
It is an absolute beacon. And but so Mr. Ramaphosa has, let me just give you a little clip from him. He said, we must as a nation do better than what we are now. We're all born the way we are. We need to support, embrace and respect each other. When we treat each other with dignity, we're all more dignified. When we treat each other with respect, we're all more respected. And he just goes on to say that LGBT rights should be respected as well.
I like that. When we treat each other with respect, that was a phrase, we treat each other with more respect, we all become more respected.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't argue with that.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Ivan, thank you very much. Very educational as ever. That completes this month's news roundup. When will I see you again?
Oh, is that going to be the next song?
Oh, yeah. Oh. I'm trying to do a clever link.
Oh, sorry, I mucked it up for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
I'm under instruction from our producer this week. This is apparently a hairbrush moment. I thought she meant people combing their hair to this bit, but I think she actually meant people singing into the brush handle.
Well, that's me out then. I don't even have a comb.
I was about to say you don't have any hair.
Let me learn a hairbrush.
It's a bit harsh. Yeah, so that was 3 degrees there.
Wonderful. Yeah, I interviewed Helen Scott actually a while ago. Is there anyone I've not interviewed? This is the question. I dropped that in there. I thought she was lovely, absolutely lovely, amazing. They're still going strong, you know. They do all the prides in the Canaries and stuff like that. And they're sparkly frocks. That was a big thing.
Yeah,
wonderful, lovely lady though. Very pro equality as well.
Cool. Excellent. You get out a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you know, I was talking about the equal marriage thing. Sinn Féin have just come out and said they're telling the UK Parliament to pass equal marriage as well, I think. Yeah, they've just come out as well. But we knew they were supporting it.
It's all happening.
It is, absolutely, yeah.
Tara, you were sort of just off air a moment ago. You were talking about a story in Primark.
Yeah, so there was a transgender woman who won £47,000 this month about her treatment while working in Primark.
Oh, she was working in the
store.
She
was working there, yeah. Wow. Yeah, so she was retail assistant Primark, Oxford Street West branch. And there was loads of things that happened, and it was just, when I read it was just deeply disturbing.
Can you just go through maybe one or two of the things that she experienced while she was there?
So there was a thing on it. So there's things, various things described. So the 15th of December 2016, a fellow assistant said she smelt like urine and she smelt like a man's toilet. Which is just
nice.
I mean, that's just.
So this is abuse coming from other staff members.
Other staff members, and they didn't have a policy. And so the problem was they didn't have a policy in place to actually, and they didn't reprimand anyone. They're just, it just, and it's a.
But surely, just a bullying and harassment policy would cover that. That's not even necessarily transphobic.
But it's a protected right, and
yes,
because
of
that, the fine was astronomical. You know, £47,000 for someone. You know, an office. You know, and
that's, it was. Doing a retail job as well.
Yeah,
that's,
absolutely.
That is quite a significant
fine.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Well.
So, yeah, so that was one. She'd been in the toilets, and they had a workman in to come into. And these, she was in the ladies, and they asked, "Is there anyone in the toilet?" In ladies' toilet, and said no, knowing that she was in there.
Right.
I mean, how could she make her feel about all that?
Yeah, yeah.
And people made quips and comments walking past. It was almost like a free for all.
So she's obviously kept a diary, and I mean, that's an important thing, is it? Actually, if anybody is suffering any kind of abuse like this, it's important that you keep notes of what's happening and when it happened, and it makes your case so much more easier to prove.
And you know your rights as well. I mean, that's the thing as well. I mean, you have to. It costs money now to take someone to court, and it. In employment,
it is, and it's really hard if it's coming from your staff members, and if it's coming from a boss as well, that makes it even harder to report, doesn't it? Because
where
do you go to when that
happens? Absolutely. And
are there external people you can go to as well? I mean, could you go to
ECAS,
report it?
So you can go to ECAS if you really want to, because actually they'll look after your rights as well, and they're there. They're more of a negotiation face, if you like.
And you forgive me for my ignorance, but you don't have to be a member of a union to go to ECAS, do you?
No, absolutely not. ECAS is free for everyone.
I was going to say, does it cost any money? Because that's another, you know, if you're on a job on minimum wage and you've got to suddenly fork out money for any kind of tribunal.
ECAS is free, and what they do is they give the employer 2 weeks a notification to come back and respond. You can extend that to a month if you're the employer, after which time you've got to come to a conclusion, after which they'll invite you going to court.
And of course, and the other thing, of course, people are frightened about losing their jobs if they make a complaint, aren't they?
Absolutely.
That's the other thing that stops people from making complaints.
Yeah.
We need to reassure people that, well, can you reassure people that they're not going to lose their job? You know, this is the problem, isn't it? You can't. You can just only hope for a reasonable
But then that's
way.
Where evidence is really important, because if you are then dismissed, it's unfair dismissal, and you've got that evidence.
Yeah, exactly. Constructive dismissal.
Constructive dismissal, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very, very sad story indeed, I think. I've got a feeling we might see some more of these types of stories come to light as transgender people have become more visible in the public eye now, and in our press as well, as we've seen, and I've got a feeling that it won't be the last of these kind of cases, unfortunately.
But I hope that we can help, all of us can help engage with people that don't understand transgender people or any minority group, and help engage with them so that hopefully in the long term these incidents do become fewer and far between.
So nice that the Daily Mirror have actually, I haven't read the article myself, but it was flagged to me in the news today that they published a two-page spread, so to speak, on a trans individual who's come out as trans and her experiences. So that's a nice way of getting that across to the public as well.
And I think the other thing is it's still not seen as something that happens every day. So when it actually see people just that many more focused on it, you know, and there is more and more visibility going on in the UK now.
Yeah.
Brilliant stuff. Okay, well, thank you for that. To just remind you, however you're listening to the show, there are many ways that you can catch up with us. We've got a website, which is shoutoutradio.lgbt. You'll hear us mentioning that quite a few times. We're also on social media, so if you search for Shoutout Radio on Facebook, you should be able to find our Facebook page, and we also exist on Twitter.
Shoutout Bristol.
There we are, you see. I just threw my voice and, you know, I'll do that again.
Shout out Bristol.
I like that. It's great. It's brilliant. It's very, very clever. Well, my goodness, that's flown by.
It has flown by. It's caught my breath away. Yeah. So you can go to our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt, and catch up with the podcast and all the various other podcasts we've got there.
Indeed. And next week we look at adoption and fostering.
Join us then.
Thank you for spending your time with us. Until next week, a very goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.